Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Let's read the word of God and then we'll go forward. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23, just a quick Bible study, a look into the word of God, and then we'll go. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen. I think this is the verse for our discussion. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I told you I'm preaching on ways God provides for us, all right? I said 12 ways. We'll look at 12. If we want, we'll look at more. But 12 ways God provides for us. And David said, if God is my shepherd, a shepherd is somebody who's caring for you, somebody who's looking after you. Amen. Amen. And then it says, because of that, I shall not want. I mean, if you're a student, you are tempted to say, Nasphas is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, that's just to encourage Nasphas to come quickly. And then, but David said, when God is the one looking after me, I shall not want means I don't lack anything. I will not want for nothing. Says, and thou shalt want for nothing. You will not lack anything. Amen. Amen. And we said that for you to be in the state to know that, to be in a state where you can say, I shall not want, there are four principles to be aware of and to deploy when God is your provider. Amen. Amen. Which is what I gave to you last week. Principle number one, I said what? Recognize God, see and recognize God as a provider. Is that not so? See and recognize God as a provider. And in 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says to Timothy, if a man doesn't provide for his own, his household, his family, he's worse than an infidel. He has left the faith. He has denied the faith, which means he has reached unbeliever levels. And then he's worse than an unbeliever. Amen. You see, and if the Christian faith is defined by providing for the people in your house, then we can clearly say that the founder or the person for whom, because of whom we have this faith, must be somebody who provides for his own. No wonder one of God's name is Jehovah Jireh or Jireh, which is the Lord my provider. Hallelujah. So, see God as a provider. Because when you don't see God as a provider, when you need something, you will never call on God. You will never call on God. So many Christians, it's only when we need spiritual things, Lord, anoint me. And it's so because you know that no human being can anoint you. Do you see? As for anointing, I mean, it's like fuel. You can only buy it in the garage. You can't buy it from ShopRite. Do you get it? You can't go to ShopRite to buy. You would have gone to ShopRite. So when it comes to anointing, visions, spiritual things, we remember God. But even God provides everything. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, say to God, give us this day our daily bread. As in, what we will eat, give it to us. It should be one of the things you pray about. It be something as common as bread. As bread. So see God as such. And I said, everybody, depending on how you see and recognize who the person is and what you depend on the person for. I told you, a wife sees a husband as somebody who provides husband things. So when they need husband things, they go to the husband. Amen. That's when I said, a husband is the band of the house. He keeps the house together. He creates a boundary within which we all stay in. He brings protection, security. It's not when, God forbid, armed robbers have come to the house, the husband has jumped into the deep freezer and left the woman to defend the house. Look, let me tell you a story. It's a true story. One day, armed robbers went to a certain house and the husband jumped into the deep freezer and closed. Yes, he went in. It's a true story. Yeah, he went into the deep freezer and closed it. And I'm wondering, are you not freezing inside the deep freezer? Maybe it wasn't a freezer that was working, but he went inside. Yeah, you are the defender of the house. Amen. Then if you see the person as your father, that's what you depend on the father for. Do you get it? So when you see God as your provider and as a provider, it will even open your minds when you come to pray. That's why Paul advises to be anxious for nothing. In everything, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Recognize it and accept it. You, some of you go and ask your grandmother, it will never occur to you to kneel down and pray. Never. Not that you don't believe in prayer. That reality is not with you. So you don't operate by it that, yes, I need this thing. I know that it's my boss who will give it. But before I go to my boss, let me kneel down and say a word of prayer to God. Never. But when you recognize God as a provider, those things will come to your mind. Hallelujah. The second principle is what? Be able to see God's provision. When God provides for you, be able to see it. Why do we have this scripture for everything? I'm even surprised. As I look on the screen, I'm worried. This is just Genesis 1. Is that not so? Yeah, he said, see God's provision. After God had created man and everything, in 29, Bible, God says to man, behold, I have given you. So he started to write food for them. He said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. It means in the tree that I've given to you, there's a fruit with a seed inside so that it can reproduce itself. To you, it shall be for meat. It shall be for meat. It's like it will be your food. Hallelujah. See, many a time God provides things for people and we don't recognize it. We don't see that it's God who has provided. You just see the hand like the closest person to you. What do I mean? Sometimes I give things to people and I give it to people to give to them. But because they don't see me, they only see the one who's giving it to them. Sometimes I don't want them to ask me again, so I give it to somebody to give to them. No, because when you're a pastor, people easily take advantage of you. Because they know that when you say no, it's like the church is bad. That a pastor, a man of God. One day somebody came. You know these people who move, go to churches, pastors. You know, they swindle, they have a story, then they will dribble the pastor. One of such people came to start to talk. I said, brother, you know something? Ask for prayer. I will pray for you. That's what I can give you. I can pray for you. So if what you are telling me, it requires prayer, you have come to the right place. And honestly, that day, all I had was prayer. My faith and prayer. So I said, what you are talking about, if it's prayer, I will pray for you. You'll be shocked. But if it's money you are looking for, you've come to the wrong place. So let's flow. I said, okay, let's go. Now tell me your story. The story couldn't come again. So I asked you, why you don't believe in prayer. So I can pray for you, the money will come. The story never came again. So when you're a pastor, usually they make these moves with you. By the time you come realize they've asked you for your car, they've asked for this, they've asked for that. People take advantage of you. So sometimes even you want to help somebody, you know that no. If you open that door,
They will milk you to the point where you, the day you say no, they will say it's the church. But if Lizzie says no, you can't say it's the church. Yeah, even if you say it's the church, you will say it's a certain part of the church, but not the whole church. But if the pastor says no, that one is the whole church. He's speaking on behalf of the whole church. So if I give it to Lizzie to give to you, you have it, you are fine. Next time you come, you ask Lizzie again. But at least we protect the rest of the church. Insulate the rest of the church. Yeah. I'm saying that sometimes God provides for us through people, through things, through many ways. But we fail to recognize that it's God who's providing for us. Sometimes even you prayed about it. Oh, when the answer comes, you forget to realize that you prayed about it and God answered your prayer. Are you getting? I mean, you were kneeling down, you prayed, oh God, give me a job. Oh God, give me a job. Then you got an interview. Then you got a job. As soon as you got there, you've forgotten that. Because maybe your auntie in Joburg called you and said that, look, I have this friend here. He says, come for an interview. So it has blinded you from God. It's like your auntie is the one. Even call God and thank God for your auntie, zero. So recognize when God provides for you. Number three is what? Understand how God provides. Know and understand how God provides. Know and understand the system, the process, how God provides. How God provides sometimes is not the way you think he provides. Or it's not the way you think he will solve your problem. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. You need corn of wheat, and you have corn of wheat. You will keep it so that you can have corn of wheat. And Jesus said, that corn of wheat that you need, the amount you need to put some of your corn into the ground, let it die. And then when it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. But if it doesn't die, some of you give offerings, you keep chasing the offering with your eye. Keep chasing the offering with your eye. It's like you are following the offering to the end of the offering. I mean, you won't allow the offering to die. To die means it disappears from where you are, disappears from everything you are. It's no longer available. Like, it's gone. You don't have control over it again. You are chasing your tithe with your eye like that. First, also the offering that we gave when the prophets came here. Where is it? Please, I want to know which part of it is mine. Like you are chasing. No, let it die. Let it die. Jesus said, when it dies, it brings forth much. It's God's way. That's how God does it. That's how God said. Like prophet was telling us today, reverse psychology. How did he call it? Reverse law. Yeah, reverse law, what we know as reverse psychology. Reverse law, it's like you think you are giving something away, but it's coming. God's method to lift you up is, you go down, I will lift you up. You go down, I'll lift you up. Now, if your plan is to go up, every step down is a step backwards. How many of you agree with me that my plan is to go up? Every step I take this way is a negative step. But the steps I take this way is positive. And you, God, you are saying that for me to go up, I must go down. But that's God's way. As you humble yourself and you go down, then God himself will lift you up. When it comes to God's provisions, sometimes you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. That God's way. So know it and understand that when God is providing for you, sometimes it requires you losing something. Something has to go. Something has to go. And I said, one of the key things that must go, even if we are talking about financial provision, is your tithe. It must go. It must leave you and go. It is like a negative move that leads to a positive outcome. It must go. It must go. And it must die. It goes and it dies. When you accept it, that this is how God provides, you won't joke with it again. When somebody asks, why are you giving so? I'm doing something. You just wait. I'm doing something. Watch and see. I'm doing something. And then number four, we said that what? Develop
and use what God provides for you. Amen. Develop it. Develop it. Sometimes what God gives you, it needs to be worked on. Develop it and work on it. Develop it and do what? Work on it. As you develop and work on it, it becomes even bigger and better and more useful. It grows into more as you develop. Maybe it's your skill. Develop it. Don't just sit down and say it should provide. As you develop, you see, at every given, sometimes even God has given you a skill. At a certain point, it will provide nothing for you. Nothing. Even sometimes that gift is the skill or the gift he has given you will be the cause of your problems. Yeah, cause of envy, cause of everything, cause of Jacob's problems was that he could dream. Meanwhile, it is that same dream that God was going to put him at the highest point in Egypt. But when the dream started, they became the main cause of his problems. His brothers envied him. They were angry. They sold him, tried to kill him, sold him to Potiphar. Like, the dream, all his problems was because of the dreams. But all his breakthrough also had to do with the dreams and the visions and the understanding that God had given to him. It brought him to the very spot he must be. So develop it. If he's singing, develop it. Develop even how to learn songs quickly. You alone, every song, you need to take 21 days. It's like a fasting period. 21 days to learn every song. You are not developing. You are not developing. When you started, fine. You need 1 month because the English was difficult. 1 month, fine. But after some time, you have been singing for 3 years. Your turnaround period should become shorter. Amen. You are now experienced. Even when you start to hear the song, so you should know that very soon you are going to be asked to learn that song. Yeah, you should know. Experience. So develop it and use it. Hallelujah. Now, how does God provide for us? Number one, I'll give you 3, 4, we go home for today. Número uno. Number one, God provides for us through the trees and the herbs. Let's go to from the very beginning. How did God provide for Adam and Eve? Through the trees and the herbs. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And the image of God made him man and woman. And the Lord blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the subdued, and have dominion over everything that moveth. And God said, verse 29, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree. To you it shall be meat. God gave them 2 things here. Every herb and every tree. He said it will be meat. God had already provided accommodation for them. So the thing they didn't have was food. What to eat? So he said, I've given you the trees. I've given you the herbs. When God formed man first, we were all vegetarians. We're all vegetarians. Pastor Zoe say, amen. We're all vegetarians. The trees and the herbs. Lindo is a Ibo. He's wondering, how am I going to survive? The trees and the herbs. For food. Look, a lot of things we use even up to today is because of trees and herbs. Still, nothing has changed. Even the chair you are sitting on is a tree. Hello. You are sitting on a tree right now. Lindo, look at where you are sitting. It's a tree. It's made from the rubber tree. I'm sitting on a tree. You are wearing a tree. Where do you think cotton comes from? pen, paper, all the things we use, they are trees. Look, let me use the first two, trees. Then he, in Genesis 9, he said, I've given you the meat, animals, anything that moves on the face of the earth. You see, after the flood of Noah, God realized that all these things, man's wickedness, is protein deficiency. So God added meat. Pastor Zoe, say amen. Yeah. Now, if I don't add it quickly by after church, Pastor Zoe has recruited all of us. And honestly, we all want to eat that vegetarian, vegan, all these things. It's just that we have enjoyed meat for a long time, so it's difficult for us. But the trees, the herbs, the animals, that's the traditional way God provided. That's number one, number two. From the very beginning. Everything you can think of, what we eat, what we wear, the things we use, is from the tree. Even the medications, it's from the herbs. That's why they are herbalists up to today. Those who know how to get it and give it to you organic like that. That's why they are still in business today. And the herbs work. And the herbs are not muti. The herbs are the plants. Just. And when we came to the bishop said that we can go to the muti, will give us some grass. No. It's not muti. I'm talking about herbs. There are different places that they still boil some herbs for you to drink. During COVID, it's called what? Inklenyam. Inklonyana. Yes. But it's like, yeah, it's close. Yeah. I remember I was at home one day when James came in his car full of herbs. No, this James. Yes, he's a part-time herbalist. He came with his car. Look, the only place that didn't have herbs was where he sits to drive. The rest of the car, everywhere, his boot, everywhere had herbs. Yeah, he came to my house with the herbs. He brought the herbs. Said, look, Bishop, drink this now. You will sweat the COVID away. Yeah. When people are in quarantine, isolation, he has the herbs. Said, don't worry. If I come, I shake the herbs, it will change the environment. Don't worry. It was going around. Yeah. It's all the herbs. What you eat, what you wear, cotton from the animals, all these things. That's how God provides. And God is still providing that way. The ones we can eat, the ones that we don't eat, God has used them. There are places that you go, even botanical gardens. Don't we pay to go there? Yeah, what do you think we go and see there? The trees. As a way of money for the nation. What is a way of money? Nature, all the natural things around us, they are all God's provision. You have to realize, you see, so when you take like our grandfathers and these, our old Tamkulus, and they know these things. Because we are city, I don't know how come, but we are city bred and born. So we don't see these things. But when you go into the rural, where is the nearest hospital? Everything, they have a leaf that solves it. Everything. Even a snake bites you, one of the animals has beaten you, they'll take one of the herbs to heal you. Yeah, one of the herbs to heal you. One of them. And the countries, this is one of the countries which have realized these things have become rich from them. Yeah, they've become rich from them. You've seen just the natural things around us. If you go to places, tourism, you'll be so shocked. You'll be so shocked at how much people make. You see, COVID, do you know why our government was, it was difficult for our government to shut the country down? When before we had patients there. How many of you, when you saw that COVID is coming, you were wondering, why wouldn't the government just close the country so that nobody comes? When they look at how much they will lose
from tourism, people coming in and out to see the trees, to see the animals, to see the natural things that are here. Oh, there are too much money to lose. If we close the country, every day we'll lose this, every day we'll lose that. They said, no, let's continue chopping a little. So patient zero came. He had gone skiing. He had also gone to somebody's provision tourism. Then he brought the COVID to us. Hilton, just here. Then we started to battle with COVID. Then he gave James a job. The animals, people travel to go and see lions. That's what these Europeans don't have in their countries. Yeah, that's what they don't have. So they come here to come and see them. They come and see them, pay a lot of money to see them. You go to Lions Park. I recently went to our Lions Park here. A few animals there, but at least people go and say, that's the first place I saw a crossbreed of a lion and a tiger. I've not seen some before. My children told me it's called a liger. I said, wow. Have you seen one before? It's just here. It's not too far. Less than 20 minutes away. Go and see it. Or else you see it on TV and you'll be saying, you? Meanwhile, it's next door. You happen to be here. It's just here. You pass there every day. Hello?
Hi.
Go see it. People pay money to see these things. Our beaches. All these things. They're all God's provision. Yeah. You see, the beach that we go to in Durban for free. In some countries, when you are going, you have to pay money to go to the beach. That we just walk to the beach. No. In some countries, you pay money to go there. Because all the beaches have been used to as public toilets. So it's just that small space that has been cordoned off, not to be, I don't know how to, I don't want to use the word I use, just use. Not for, no, public consumption is too broad. Not for easing off. Because they believe that when you use that place to ease yourself, that's free range. Where is Pastor Priscil? What does he provide? Like fresh air? Yeah, organic fresh air from the sea. Blows everywhere. Do you see it? Yeah, so if you are walking on the beach, you can, oh, I'm telling you the truth, you can step into something that you didn't want to step in. Many, many countries. Yeah. So it's just that small space that somebody has protected. So before you can go there, you have to pay money to go there. Because we don't do that here, that's why the beach is free. Because if I say pay to come to this beach, you just go to the next beach. I mean, back in the day when we are looking for a beach to go to, we cross all the places and the place that is empty, we also go and be there. We are the first people to arrive here. This is our beach. That's all. The beaches. It's what people have developed and it's making money for them. Sometimes, what God is providing for is so natural and so much in front of you that if you don't open your eyes, you won't see it. Yeah, you won't see it. You won't see it. Still, look, we will go and come, go and change, develop computers and everything. We will still have to plant and eat the herbs, kill the animals to eat. You can't download food. Download food and eat it tonight and let's see. No. Maybe I don't know much about IT. Do you get it? Go to the media people and let them download food for you to eat. Let's see if you will be full. You can't. Nothing will replace that. We'll come to the basic things. Yeah. I mean, I wish we were all living in places where we could have goats, cows, plants. I mean, you did agri in school. You don't have one goat. It's like somebody did IT in school. He doesn't have a laptop. He doesn't have a... That's how you see the person. That, what's wrong with you? You don't have a laptop or a computer, nothing. You also did that Greek. You don't even have cabbage.
You did that Greek. Sorry, forgive. I mean, if I knew you did that Greek, I wouldn't have shot it at you. Sorry, forgive. We'll edit it. But I mean, you did that Greek. You don't have tomatoes. Tomatoes that grows, and you have... Me, I didn't do a Greek. I have goats. It's just that my goats, there's always a technicality about them. Always a story about my goats. How many goats do I have, please? I have four now. Wow. Because I had 2 4 years ago. Any goat that dies, they say it's my goat which is dead. Yeah, it's my goat that dies. So now I've decided to buy a tracker and put it in my goat. Every time I check on my phone, if they say it's dead and I see that it's moving, I know my goat is not dead. James, please, I need a tracker for my goat. Because my goats are dead. Every time a goat dies, every time I'm called for a goat funeral, they say it's my goat. Hey. I'm actually shocked that I have 4. Yeah. God is hearing my prayer. But me, I didn't do a Greek. I have goats. I had a goat in Jozini. We brought it last year or something. We killed it. We ate it throughout from December to December. We ate it. Me, my pastors, we ate the goat, half of it this December. We ate another half the next December. Yeah, at least we are eating what God has provided. But you are sitting there. You don't have goats. You go to Makaya all the time. You don't have chicken. You don't have goat. You don't have a cow. You have nothing. Meanwhile, every break, you say you are going to Makaya. You are the first person to go to Makaya. Answer me. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm making a TikTok video. Why don't you have chickens? Why don't you have tomatoes? Why don't you have cabbages? Something that you just be churning and eating and be going. I met a guy, he sells dogs. Yeah, dogs. That's the business he does. He buys dogs, he sells dogs. He buys dogs, he sells dogs. James, look into dogs. Yeah, it's a big business, I'm telling you. Come again. Why are you not selling pups? You went to study, you have a degree in dogs. Why are you not selling some? You say you don't have a job. Bishop, I'm praying for a permanent job. What? You have a degree in dogs. Dogs and puppies. Anyway, you blame me. Blame me. You are waving a white flag. Yeah, you know somebody who's using the knowledge you have to become rich. James, let's look into dogs. I'm serious. I'm as serious as... Monday, my wife says I shouldn't say the other one. So, as Monday morning traffic. The other one, my wife shouldn't say, I won't say it. It's heart attack, but I won't say it. Serious. Yeah, no, think about it. Somebody is using the knowledge you have. You see, when I talk about the herbs, the trees, the animals, usually it's on a governmental level. So you can't really do much. I mean, you can't suddenly start to plant tall trees that tourists can come and look. A tree that is 300 years old. When would you start? When will it grow? You'll be gone. Do you get it? Uh-huh. But on a local level, if I was living at a place, I always ask myself, where can we do a chicken farm, goat farm, this farm? Meanwhile, we have a Greek specialist in the church. Degree holders from UKZN, honors holders. I mean, they are honest enough with what they have done. Anyway. Hello. I said, you don't even have cabbage. How many of you have a backyard in your house? No cabbage. No tomatoes, no lettuce, no onions,
Even chilies. I'm sure chilies, if you plant, you don't have to do anything. They are hard enough to survive. Yeah. One tree, you pick, then it's coming. You don't even have oranges. I don't even want to talk about lemons. Oranges, you don't have.
And Bishop, my nails.
Eat your nails. Eat it. Acrylic. Acrylic. Very nice. But it's God's provision. God's provision. Eggs. Even eggs. Eggs. How do you say eggs in Amakanda? That one. Eggs. So that you can put eggs for sale in front of your house. Eggs for sale. Eggs, even eggs. Not eggs that have expired, please. But eggs, organic eggs. That you sell eggs. As a, maybe a side gig. Anyway, I give up. But it's God's provision. These are things, it's like, it's small, small opportunities that God, some of us, we live in places, you can't plant anything, you take it coolly, you go, but where you are, you can do something. So it's not even to sell or just to eat. Our uncles, our grandfathers and things in the village, they don't have shop, right? The closest they have is Boxer. Even now, they have to walk 30 minutes to go to Boxer. So most of the things they eat is the one that they've planted in the house. They go and bring it, then they kill this one, eat like that. Tomatoes, then that's what they eat. Why are you so quiet? I'm so perplexed. I'm so perplexed. Number three. No, because you are too quiet. Number one is the trees and the herbs. Number two, Genesis 9. Read Genesis 9 quickly. Genesis 9, verse 1. It talks about Noah after the flood of Noah. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the earth, and will have dominion, or into thy hands they are delivered. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the herbs. He said, the same way I gave you the herbs and the trees, I've given you the things that move. Thou want to eat them. Kill and eat. That's why eating, and no matter how sophisticated the world gets, these are the same things we are eating. You can be vegetarian, vegan. What's the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan? Oh, okay. Anyway, we will understand as we go on. Like I told you, we are all trying to get there. You can be vegan, you can be vegetarian. Which other-tarian is there? Presbyterian. Pescatarian. You eat pests. White meat, okay. White meat. I have to check. White meat. What else is there? No. So those of us who eat everything, what are we? Omnivores. Okay. Yeah, carnivores, omnivores. We are omnivores. We eat everitarians here. It will all come to these things. That no matter which branding you give to it, it will come back to all these things. All of it will come to this. Milk, it will all come from this. The trees, the herbs, and the animals. That's it. You can't make it. I mean, after all these years of development and technology, we've not been able to come up with, invent food that has nothing to do with these things. That's how you know that it's God who gave it. Yeah, it's God who gave it. That's how you know. Somebody said, when you look at the pig, you know that it's God who gave it to us. Because an animal that every part of it is nice, it can only come from God.
anything we eat, you will see there are parts of it we don't eat. Anything. Any animal, there are parts of it we don't eat. But when it comes to the pig, and when Moses was giving them things to eat, he said, eat this animal, eat it. Then he said, as for the pig, don't eat it. Hey! It's like it took time for it to be, for them to allow us to eat it. Hey! It tells you that this system of provision can only come from God. God is the number one provider for mankind. Even we have gone to Mars and the moon, we've never brought anything from any of those places that have been useful on this earth. You think, oh, as they have gone, they'll bring some metal, that metal, nothing up to today. Up to today. Wakanda is fictional. Yeah, nothing we are using today except what God himself provided for us. Yeah. Number three. Now let's come home. The third way God provides to you, or the third means by which God provides for us, is through the church. It's through the church. It's through the church. Acts chapter 2, I'm reading 42 through to 45. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So all the believers were together and everything. Then they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread and in prayer. 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the hands of 44. And all the believers, all that believed, were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. In this church, what was happening was that they provided for the needs of everybody in the church. They sold everything they had and they shared it amongst themselves for everybody to have. One of the common things that God uses to provide for us is the church. Is the church. Is the church. Is the church. God uses the church. And there are many ways God uses the church to provide. This is just one of them. If you read Acts 6, they were giving them food in the church. That's what brought the confusion, that they were serving the widows, the Greek widows. They were giving them less. And when this church, you see, when this church started, when it was growing, this is what was happening. Do you see? Then as it kept growing, then even it's the food that brought the confusion in the church. It's the food that brought the confusion in the church. That they began to complain that they give these widows more. Oh, access, please ring it up. They give these widows more than they give them. Then that's how they found Stephen. They said, let's put you in charge of sharing of the food, because the food sharing of the food is becoming a problem. Last time when we shared, they said, two took so much. Then Fanelle didn't get enough. And then she got only one portion. Then when she got home, she has to share it with Pastor MC. Meanwhile, Setu is alone. He got two portions. Then it was becoming confusion in the church. So they appointed somebody to look after the food. To look after the food and look after the sharing of the food. Church is one of the ways God provides. Some of you have gotten accommodation by being in church. Some of you, your school fees has been paid by being in church. Some of you, it's the church that helped you to get admission. You were in between grade 12 and NASFAS until somebody in the church helped you to get admission into NASFAS. Amen.
Amen.
Transport, all these things, they are provisions. If you don't see it as God providing for you, say, oh, I thank God, the other day, I sat in a green car. Who does the green car belong to? Is it the guy, what is it called? Liz. That guy. It's God's way of providing for you. I sat in non-toss car and God is providing. That's true. Recognize it and be grateful for it. Be grateful for it. Don't take it for granted. Sometimes having to go and drop you at in Bali causes a problem for the person going to drop you. But because of the family, they won't say anything. They just go and drop you. Fuel doesn't come from our taps. Fuel comes from the garage. Last week when I was reversing, Nonto asked me, Bishop, have you filled up? I said, what is happening? He said, tomorrow the prices are going up. Please go and fill up. I said, really? I was going to go this way. My house is this way. I turn around. I went that way to go and fill up because prices are going up. Yeah. Don't take it for granted.
So, but even if you take me home, what does it?
It costs something. It costs something. When you come up, say thank you. Hello? When you come up, say thank you. I mean, it has never occurred to you. You got your nurse class, you have so many. So, I have this 100. Every day, Uncle Musa has been giving me a lift. Let me give him 100 rands that is a blessing. Buy fuel for your car. Never. Every day. You, when you sit in non-tos car, you are the first person to put on your seatbelt. Then you start to press, turn the music up, turn on the aircon. You adjust the aircon. The car is too hot. Hey. But when has it occurred to you to say, oh, please, Charlie, God has blessed me. I want to top you up 50 rands fuel. I don't know how the fuel thing works. I don't know whether we buy it in grams, kilograms, kilometers or what, but this is something small. Never. Hello? It's a way of providing. God is providing for you. God is providing for you. Yeah. They won't ask you any question. These three people, I mean, when we stand at the parking, I always scan out, how is everybody going to get home? I start to scan, okay, this person can go with this person can go with this person can go. Sometimes even when they don't have any food, you see they've gone home early. That was not part of the message. Take that one out of the message. Right after the grace, they have some emergency they are going to sort out. So they are, it's because there's no fuel. I mean, I understand them, please. I know, please don't be bored. I understand them. Because that day, there's no fuel. But if I say they should go and drop you, they will not say no. They can't say no, but what it means is that on Thursday, today is Tuesday, by Thursday, they will be struggling to go to work. Yeah, they'll be struggling to go to work, but you will never say thank you. You will never show any form of gratitude. You will see, the day they don't, you went to ask them for a lift and they said, oh no. That's the day you start to grumble. You start to grumble. Even the check line, you want to have a lift, they won't even give you a lift. Even the car, it takes four people, only two people are in the car. What is he doing with the other space in the car? The space in the car, even how big am I? I can fit in nicely. I'm petite, I'm small. I can fit. You have suddenly forgotten the days that you sat in a car, they took you all the way to Durban. And you came back. If it's thank you, just thank you. You are living in the house. You can turn. Only you are going to bath. You won't bath when everybody is bathing and the geyser is on. You wait until the water is cold. Then you go and turn on the geyser just for you. Meanwhile, you won't buy. Like, when you buy something, you put it in your bag. That's why ladies are always carrying big bags. When you buy, you have bought Sasco bread. You have eaten four slices. You have put the rest in your bag. Handbag. No, not this one. Let me see this one. No, this one. Not this one. Bag. This one. Because as for this one, we can open it. This is the one that we have been brought up that we should never open a lady's bag. So you will see in this bag, you'll be surprised that if we open it, there's Sasco bread inside though. Sasco bread, 10 slices of Sasco bread is inside. And they put it there. Marie biscuit is inside. Chocolate is there. What? Jacob's coffee. There's a coffee called Jacob's. It's inside the bag. Jacob's coffee is in the bag. No, this bag is too small. But you will be surprised that you see that shop right big bag, the red one. It can fit inside this one. You'll be groceries for the month is in the bag, and when she comes to see, she puts it by her bedside. Eggs. You say eggs? Amakanda are inside here. Six eggs. They are here. Not boiled though.
like fresh eggs. They are here. Sugar is there. Even there's a blender. A blender inside the bag. Blender is in the bag. Not teacher blender. A blender. It's inside the bag. So you come to the house. There's no sugar in the house. So, but she has sugar here. Coca-Cola 2 liters is here. Eggs here. Sasco bread here. Vaseline, hot sauce, Nando's peri peri sauce is inside. Mayonnaise inside. Noodles, 2 minutes noodles inside. Everything inside this bag. And she's just moving around. What are we going to eat tonight? I'm telling you. And then toothpicks inside. Yeah. Oil is inside. 300 ml oil is inside. You see, the argument going on here, the argument around this side is, do you know what they are arguing about? One says that the eggs are 6. The other one says they are 5. That's what they are arguing about. That's what they are arguing about. It's not whether there's eggs or not. Oh. They are arguing whether it's 5 or 6. Because she ate one yesterday. So it can't be 6. How did Bishop know that it's 6? Ah. God providing for us. And when God provides for us, let's recognize it and let's not spoil it. Amen. Amen. There are so many things I benefit from just being the pastor of the church. Sometimes we have things to do as a church. Then you see people in the church will rise up and say, I can do this. I can do it. Let me help with this. It's all a blessing. God is using the church to provide. Recognize it. Yeah, recognize it. That God is providing for us. Somebody says, I can do carpentry work. I can do this. I can do something small. I can do this. It all saves the money we would have spent on it. It's through the church. It's through the church. God is providing. Some of you, God through the church has provided a family for you. At home, you are like a store reject. What do I mean? It's like when you come. Somebody told me on Sunday, it's like my house, anything I do, they don't like. Sometimes I even wonder if my mother is my mother. Yeah. No, look. I was shocked when I was sitting there. Tears almost rolled down my eyes. Sometimes I even wonder if my mother is my mother. But you've come to the church. We don't know you from Adam. We don't know your criminal record. We've not done a background check on you. We don't know anything about you. You came to us and said, hello, my name is Pulelo. We said, nice to meet you. And then we started to move with you. No, I'm using that because recently I saw you at the police station. I don't know what you were dealing with. I don't know. Yeah. We just took it like that. Oh, look, you are who you say you are. And we start to flow with you. We accept you. We love you. We don't check any what you have done in the past. Whatever, we just flow with you and we go for it. God is the one providing for you. He's provided sisters for you, brothers for you, parents for you, uncles. It's a provision. Because it didn't come in the form of money. So,
Look, if you had not been, some of you would be in therapy by now. Paying a shrink to make you think correctly. Yeah, paying a shrink to let you think correctly. But you are in church every time you come. There's somebody to talk to. Somebody to listen to you. Somebody to advise you. Somebody to counsel you. Somebody to be there with you. It's a blessing. Yeah. When you have marital problems, somebody to tell somebody, stop. Like, go. Yeah. I mean, I was driving from Durban not so long ago. Then I got a call from my wife. So I thought she was coming to her, what time are we coming? Then she started to describe a problem that was going on. As soon as I finished the call, I just looked at Pastor Lungan. The car started to move faster. The car. I had not even explained what was happening. The car started to fly by itself. Because it's like there's an emergency. We have to be in Maritzburg now. Now. Where were your parents? Why didn't you call your uncle in Johannesburg? It's God who has provided for us. God has provided for us. It's God. Recognize it and see it and give glory to God. Because one day you become somebody who's ungrateful. I've been in the church for 13 years because you didn't find a beloved. I've been in the church for 13 years. For 13 years and 13 months, I've been in the church. I've never found a beloved. And this church is a very wicked church. Because of a beloved. Meanwhile, in those 13 years and 13 weeks, 13 years and 13 weeks, when we tell you to smile, you won't smile. Every day you are dressing like a boy, moving in the church. When the brothers are looking for a beloved, they don't look at you because they fear. Fellow, when they see you, instead of saying hello, sister, so in Chanam. Eta Shobra. Etada. It's all a message to you. It's a message to you. Yeah, when they see you say brew, it's a message to you that you are brewing too much. When they are looking for a beloved, they won't come to you. So after 13 years and 13 weeks, if nobody came, then you are angry at the church. Meanwhile, the church, God through the church has provided many different things for you. Many different things for you. Many different things for you. Every day you are dressed like a boy, like you mean a boxer. You are moving the system. You are scaring the rest of us. You are destroying the market. Number four. Number four, the fourth way God provides for you is also through marriage. It's through marriage. But where the time is. But it's through marriage. Now, even talking about the church. Now, don't be there thinking if you will be lazy, you won't work, we will work and give our money to you. As for that, I want to say it here and now so that you know. So you don't go. I knew a couple that they go from person to person to for provision. No, they won't work. Husband and wife, you are sitting at home. You won't work. You won't wake up and work. At least one of you should work. Sitting at home for years. They won't work. Then when they look for something from somebody they don't get, then they now say, the church, we are wicked. And like I said, ask the pastor, once they ask you and you don't have, they say, the whole church, we are wicked. You don't wake up and work. Husband and wife, today, Adam, the only time God allowed Adam to marry, Adam had a job. Adam was working. He had somewhere to live. He didn't have rent problems and he had a job. He could provide. Then God said, okay, now I'll make you a wife. When Adam was alone, before God employed him, he didn't make a wife for him. He said, oh, if you're alone, if you'll be hungry, at least it's just you. But when he started to work, God said, let me give you a wife. Made a wife for him. Yeah. So if you have been old enough to marry, get up and work. Yes, once in a while, life throws you a curveball. And it can't be like your constant situation. That's, as for you, that's how you are. Husband doesn't work. Wife doesn't work. And then it's like you are a charity case going from person to person. No, no, no. Wake up and work. Wake up and work. I'll show you as we go. One of the ways God provides for you is through you working. Through you working. So wake up and work. Don't say, did you hear what Bishop Priest said? He said the church, so every day you are standing at the outside of the church to ask plus 50 rands, plus 50 rands. At least if you hit six people on each side, that's 300 rands. It can keep you for 3 days. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm not encouraging that at all. As the pastor of the church, I am against that. Wake up and work. If you have school going age, go to school. If you are working age, wake up and work. There are only two types of people in the church. Workers and students. That's it. Yeah, workers. Unless you're a pensioner. You are past working and you are on pension. But once you fall in you are either in school or you are working. Don't say I'm sitting at home. I'm just happy. Temporarily, you may be looking for a job. So you may sit at home for 21 days, 6 weeks, here and there. But get up and work. And I told you, if you are looking for a job, look for a job like looking for a job is a job in itself. Look for a job from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. Take it seriously. Look for a job. Don't sit at home and say, I've sent out my CVs, I'm waiting. You look. You keep looking, looking, looking until you get a job. Nobody gets a job by just sitting on their hands. Yeah. And sometimes those people, they eat the most. Sometimes even when they eat, you wonder the energy, what are they going to use it for? What are they going to use it for? What are they building energy to eat again? Yeah, they eat, they'll eat everything, eat the leftover. There's no leftover for tomorrow. Look, in our current state, every leftover is tomorrow's breakfast. How many of you happens in your house? I don't know about me. That's what happened. The food I'm eating today is my yesterday's food. I ate some of it. I'm going to eat some of it again. That's yesterday. So whatever is a leftover for today is tomorrow's. That's what we pack and take. Those of you who go to regular work, that's what you take to work as lunch. Is that not the case? Uh-huh. So you alone, once you come to living, you eat. There's no leftover. If it bones, there's no bones. Leftover, I mean, everything is finished. The dishes washed, clean, everything. Pots, everything packed into the cupboard. Hey, there's nothing, even jollof rice. You have eaten the jollof, you have eaten the rice, now you have eaten the anda also. Hey, why? Hey, you see, you are putting your pencils in the Sasco bag. You have finished the bread. You are holding the plastic bag. You are packing things into the plastic bag. Why? So please, as I've talked about this, I remember when I've talked about this particular thing before. There were some people sitting around this side, just behind Bootle, that area there, where Malik and Co are, that region. It's like, oh, yes, yes, I really like what this pastor is talking about, because it's like the church will provide, they sold everything they have. I should sell my car and share with you. You take the tire, I take the brake. No. No, 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 no. I can give you a list, but I can't sell it and share it with you. No. And they were sitting there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can see, I could see from their faces, yeah, yeah. I even remember a girl, she went to ask another sister for help. I remember those days, back in the days, when she asked the sister. The sister said, oh, today I don't have. Said the sister should ask her husband. The sister said, oh, no, I can't ask my husband. And she was angry because the husband was dusted. So she was angry. I said, no, I can't ask my husband. I just ask him for something now. If I go and ask again, I'll look like a... I
I can't. And the sister was angry, I remember. And she told me, she's looking at me so that me and my three children go and sleep in hunger. I said, ah, was she there when you were having the three children? Did you not think about it that the three children, they will eat? If she could, fine, but this time she can't. So I asked the sister, did she not give you the last time? You said, yes. So if today she doesn't have, there must be a reason why she doesn't have. And perhaps one of the reasons is you. You have eaten whatever she had already.
Church of God. I'm just glad I put this disclaimer there because I know that as I'm preaching this, you have already looked at the church. Okay, I see that Lizzo is there. I see Melania. I see Pastor Zolile. I see this guy. So at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I have to put this disclaimer there before I see you harassing somebody. Work with your hands. Work with your hands. Work with your hands. Work with your hands. Next week, I talk about how God provides for us through marriage and we'll all be blessed. Stand to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close. Lift up your hands and pray for yourself. Say, Lord, whichever way you are providing for me, open my eyes to see it. Open my eyes to see it. Through the trees.
Open my eyes.
Through the herbs. Through the animals.
Yes,
show me what I can do.
Show me, oh God.
Show me what I can do.
Show me, oh God.
Show me what I can do with these
show
things.
Show me what I can do, Lord.
Show me even what I can do in the church. That through Jesus. The church,
yes,
you provide Lord. For me.
Yes,
maybe
oh
you
God.
Can learn a skill and yes, all of us in the church will become your clients. Pray about it right now. Pray about it right now. Maybe the wisdom God will give you is for you to do something that the church will benefit from. And through that, you will become rich. Pray about it right now. Pray about it right now. Lord, help us. Open our eyes. Let us see. Open our eyes. Let us see, Lord. 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 Let us see your provision, O God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everybody here present, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our eyes to see your provision. To see your provision, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, O God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Namata bade kase paya. Rampala bake paloba sempatota. Lepadoba sakatamaleva. Rampeloba satempatotaya. Nitoma sekepala. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Lift your hands. Let us pray, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for every hand lifted up.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray. As you are providing for us, we recognize you as our provider.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, open our eyes to see what you have provided for us. Even through the trees. Through the herbs, through the animals, through the church, open our eyes to see what you have provided for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to use it and to develop it until such a time that it becomes something massive and something great. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Oh, say a louder amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me. If you are watching me online, want to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer to invite Jesus into your heart as the whole congregation helps me to pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I am a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. I believe you died for me and you rose again. I confess that you, Jesus, are the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior from today. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I no longer belong to Satan in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't we acknowledge God with a hand clap? And you may be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I've been blessed. I don't know about you.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Peter Maritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.